Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today on the program, I'll be talking with Barbara Coppo, author of The Boy in the Window, A Journey Through an Unexpected Tragedy. Barbara Coppo was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and was raised in Vallejo, California. She married her high school sweetheart at 19, and they have two children. Though she's managed several careers, from sales, the jewelry business, and real estate, becoming an esthetician was her favorite job. Barbara has been a painter, selling several pictures to Sears, and she enjoys writing poetry. The last 28 years, she has devoted the majority of her life caring for her dependent son, Kenny, who has had mobility problems, seizures, and autism since he was 1.5 years old. Barbara still resides in Vallejo with her husband, Ken, and her son, Kenny. So thank you so much for joining us on the program today, Barbara.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, this book, The Boy in the Window, it must have been a difficult book to write for you. Why did you decide to come out and tell your family story?
Well, all the years through Kenny's life, he wasn't able to communicate other than just some baby babble, and because we got used to, you know, figuring out what he needed at different times. But, you know, we were always told by professionals that he was retarded, didn't understand anything, and, I mean, I just didn't believe it, and I just kept looking for other avenues to try to help him, and you know, we did bring things out in him that, you know, were I thought were quite amazing, but it wasn't until he was 17 and exposed to a computer that we found out all these amazing gifts that Kenny had. And thank God the person, the aide at school who stumbled upon this, this happened, because otherwise we would not have known.
Yeah.
And that is when, at 17, when he was 17, I knew that someday I'd have to write a book and share, because he is such an amazing character.
He's quite an inspiration for you, I imagine.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Also a challenge.
Oh, yes, of course. We're definitely going to get into that. So why don't you take us back to the beginning of when this all happened? What was Kenny like before his vaccine shots that I think were at 18 months of age?
Yes, actually, okay, he was 19 months when I took him in for his vaccine shot. But previous to that, he was just a wonderful baby, toddler. He wasn't sick. He was healthy. He was thriving. He was, at that time, beginning to put three sounds together for words, which were, you kind of knew what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he was just wonderful.
Just a normal little baby.
Yes.
What year was that?
It was 1979. He was born in 78.
Okay. And so the shots that you took him in for were the random shots, the diphtheria booster?
Yes, the DPT booster shot.
Okay. And so tell us what happened after the shot.
The next day, he had his first seizure, though I didn't recognize it as a seizure, and he just wasn't responding. He wasn't happy and smiling, and I was doing little games with him, but he wasn't interested, and I was concerned. But we were on our way to Grandma and Grandpa's, and we went ahead and we went there and we visited, and in a short time he just collapsed, and we rushed him out to the hospital, and within in those 3 days he had 9 seizures.
Oh my God!
And we were just beside ourselves, because, well, I knew in my heart that it was caused from the vaccine, but we weren't actually told until we were leaving the hospital on that last day, and a doctor rushed up to us and said, "They told you that the pertussis was the culprit, right?" And of course, no, they had not told us that, but in my heart, I knew that that's what happened. It only stands to reason, as he was perfectly fine before that day.
And what's for the pertussis?
That's for the whooping cough. And that's one of the most dangerous of the vaccines out there, because it's the most reactive and has caused the most damage. And studies go back way back to 1942, and it shows that it has caused brain damage and a lot of problems in babies and children.
Isn't that amazing? And you know, when you were going through all of this autism and this issue with vaccines, it wasn't like it is today. This
not
was
at all.
So what is it about? Is it the actual vaccine? we're hearing about the mercury in the vaccine. I've never heard that the pertussis is especially a problematic.
Not to interrupt, but one of the reasons is because a lot of the doctors now are choosing the Japanese version of pertussis, which is a lot safer. But going back to those days, yes, they still had mercury in the vaccines, mm-hmm. and probably that is what caused the damage. Mm-hmm. But little was known, and we actually weren't diagnosed until we went through the lawsuit against the drug company, and by then he was about, I want to roughly say, 7, and he went through all of these tests, and oh, my God, it was just terrible. Mm. The UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles diagnosed him with post-pertussis encephalitis.
Wow. And so that's when you finally knew that it was the vaccine.
Well, I already knew, mm-hmm. because I had already been doing research, and the attorney that we chose only represented vaccine victims. So that's when I really started finding out all of the information about what was going on.
It's so amazing because a lot of people don't realize that this issue has been brewing for that long. And it's just now. I mean, right now, autism, the statistics are 1 in 150 children are being diagnosed. I mean, basically, this is touching everybody at this point, whether directly or indirectly through friends or other family members and, you know, that sort of thing. It's incredible.
Well, you know, when you think about it, in this day and age, children and babies are getting even way more vaccines mm-hmm. than they did back then when Kenny was, you know, a baby. And how can – it only stands to reason. How can a little body stand that much toxin?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's all about chemicals and toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that there's such an overabundance of hurt children.
Mm. There was an amazing program on Larry King recently, and what you're talking about with the amount of vaccines that children are getting these days. There was a doctor or someone on the panel had brought the list, and you know the list of maybe 20 years ago that children were receiving compared to the list today before they're maybe even 8 years old, it was like almost 10 times amount, and given a lot of those vaccines at one time.
Well, see, the drug companies have free reign now over what they give the children, because years ago they passed this National Vaccine Injury Act, which was supposed to protect our children, but it turned out to actually give the drug companies lack of responsibility for the damage that they did. And so we got in just before the new laws were changing, and see, people don't even know that there were lawsuits that far back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the couple that you're speaking of, they, you know, said, oh, yeah, this is the first lawsuit, but in reality, it actually is not.
How many lawsuits have there been that you know of?
I really don't know the number of that. I just know there were a lot. We were put in contact with a lot of people that their babies and children were suffering damage to death mm-hmm. from the vaccines. And so there was many.
What kind of information, Barbara, was out at that time? Were there books? What was there stuff on the internet?
You mean like talking about
vaccines? Talking about the issue of vaccines.
No, and people didn't have computers. Yet.
That's true.
And see, that's another reason why, I mean, now there's ways of communicating.
Yeah.
Everybody gets all this information.
Immediately.
I'm sure there was probably a lot more cases of autism back then, but people didn't get the connection, didn't know who to turn to or what was wrong with their children. So because of computers especially and the media, that's why it's so prevalent and it's so talked about now.
Mm-hmm. So is it basically, from your understanding, just strictly the mercury, the preservative that's used in these vaccines, or is it the vaccine itself to also?
Okay. Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on with that.
Yeah.
The shelf life, it can sometimes just be the shelf life. We found out so much during our lawsuit that it would make your hair curl. But expired drugs that went out and shipped to hospitals and where they give these shots, in other words, they can repool and become more toxic if they're not stored properly. There's a lot of issues other than just the mercury. And even now, I know they're saying they took the mercury out. There actually still is mercury in some of the shots, the flu, I believe, in the hepatitis. And today they're giving day-old babies.
Yeah.
It makes me sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is amazing. I understand, though, that there are, if parents are very adamant about not vaccinating their children, it will be a struggle, you know, when they put them in schools and that sort of thing. But there are ways around not
there vaccinating. There are ways around. And I'm not sure today what they are, but just recently I saw on the computer that there are ways to get around it, and especially because everybody now is aware of the problem with autism.
Yeah.
So they're not quite as strict as they were for a while, but then I guess it depends on where you live and who your doctor is. And so,
mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any information out there at this point that indicates why one child may get autism and another not, and still both getting the vaccine.
Well, I mean, our daughter had the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
She's fine. Sometimes the blood-brain barrier matures at different ages in babies and isn't strong enough to put up with the toxin,
mm-hmm.
that attacks the brain. There's just, but I do not believe in the theory they're trying to say that somewhere in the genes, that's what's causing autism. I totally do not believe that. That's just a rumor,
mm-hmm.
that the drug companies, I'm sure, have put out,
mm-hmm.
because there's too many. There's just too many cases of autism.
It doesn't make sense.
And it doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm. No. So after Kenny was originally diagnosed with this illness, what did doctors suggest to you at that time?
Well, you know, at that time when we were first having all the problems, and that, of course, was the day we brought him home from the hospital, I mean, he was just never the same little boy again. And we were in denial for a long time up until he was 3 years old.
Mm.
We knew that he wasn't behaving normally, but it's like we just struggled along. You know, he was like into everything every minute. He had lost interest in all his toys, and we did get behavior help eventually. But at 3 years old, we were told from someone that represented this school of special education that he was retarded and needed to get into a class immediately.
Mm.
And, of course, we went to different doctors, and there was nobody that said, well, your child has autism, and this is what we think you should do. No, it wasn't like that. Believe me, it was very hard finding the right kind of help for Kenny, and we just depended on programs, different school programs. The first one he was in was by far the best, and when he had to get out of that class, and I think he was about 7, that's when, I mean, I just endless searching for the right kind of programs, and it was just a nightmare.
I imagine that the mainstream schools at that point, you know, even for children with disabilities, really didn't have the understanding of autism at that point and maybe didn't offer what he really needed.
He was never in a mainstream. It was always classes that were grouped with all types of challenges, all types of handicapped children that they were, if anything, they were babysitting classes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they were overcrowded, and I mean, it was just a nightmare, and I'm glad we're past that.
Oh,
now,
no kidding.
But
no
there's
kidding.
No programs right now for someone like Kenny, and that's what's so hard in our life is we have to depend on other people for his entertainment, you know, because he's sick of us. He's 30, and we're 60s, and we're just mom and dad. We're boring, so, you know, we don't stimulate him anymore.
Yes, he needs some other stimulation. So
yes. So
what do you do for that? How do you entertain him? Like, do you take him places? Is there other family members that take him?
Well, we up till he got to a certain age, we were taking him places, but even though it was hard, I wish we could go back to that. But now, like I said, it's almost like he needs that independence. He needs to be away from us in order to. We have Mary, we have Alicia, we have an afternoon person. They come and go and take him to a store or maybe over to their house. And then at Mary, who's been with us since Kenny's about 12, I mean, she's just been our lifesaver. If something happened to her, I really don't know what we would do because, I mean, she's got children. He loves to go over to her house. There's parties. And all Kenny can do is watch other people. He loves to watch the children. He enjoys seeing people have fun. But he can't interact in it himself.
Yeah. I wonder, there must be some kind of interaction, though, that he is having on a certain level with the people around him.
Well, yes. It takes, we do have a little gal that's coming over in the evening sometimes, and she's getting back to the, my book, there's a whole chapter devoted to the kind of work that Kenny amazingly has done and shows the genius level in one part of his brain, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a gal that comes over and does those little things again with him. He's gotten pretty lazy because it's all about routine and habit with autistic people. The minute the routine's changed, it just, you know, maybe something that you were gaining so much information, if it doesn't happen on a daily basis, then it's almost like it's lost.
Oh, really?
We're bringing that back again. Kenny still is showing that his brain in that respect is just, I mean, if you ask him to spell a word, we lay out the Scrabble letters,
mm-hmm.
and he'll pick out the letters. He'll hand them to you, but not in random order, but they will be the letters to the word.
Oh, is that right?
And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of the reason that I wrote the book, too, is because Kenny has special, amazing gifts that are, is it okay to talk about it now?
Yeah, you know what, let's go there, and let's talk about really what happened around age 17 that kind of sparked this whole aspect of who you now know your son to be.
Yeah, well, my son is, his brain is genius. He can do math. He can look at a math problem that most of us would need a calculator. He can look at the problem, and he figures it out in seconds and will point to the answer.
Mm.
He also is telepathic and has ESP. It's just amazing. In the chapter 24, there's about four or five people that did the telepathy with him,
mm-hmm.
though there were many more, but these are the notebooks that I had documented at the time. And he knows what you're thinking in your brain and can print it out. That's how amazing.
How did you find out about this?
It was a special aide that was working with him at the last school that he went to, Spectrum over in Concord. The aide was, he was a really neat guy, and Kenny really looked up to him. And he stumbled upon it quite accidentally when he was doing work with Kenny on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I go into detail in my book
mm-hmm.
about how that came about.
Yeah.
But I was the most skeptical one, and I thought the aide was playing a joke on me.
Mm-hmm. Influencing him somehow.
But he worked with Kenny for 3 months before he even told me to be able to confirm. And, of course, from there, I started doing my own, you know, we started doing it with Kenny, and I mean, that one thing just led to another, and that's, I mean, like when he's at home, he knows when the phone's going to ring, he knows when somebody's coming before they even get here. I mean, he's just amazing.
And this ability is still there?
It's still there.
Has it gotten stronger or basically stayed the same?
I think we've never tapped into his abilities because of the behavior. See, that's the thing. Even though it's like, the way I'm describing him, you might want to think that when you see him, he's going to be just this normal-looking person. And even though he is normal, other than the little damage he did to his ears and his teeth, but it's almost like there's two separate parts to his brain because you can't rationalize with him.
Mm.
He's still, in other words, I describe in the book, if we had to get him out of a burning, our house was on fire and he was sitting upstairs, he'd fight us before we could get him out of the house.
Oh,
because
okay.
It's just who Kenny is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a character, but he's so lovable.
Thank
God.
Yeah, oh, yes, of course. So tell us then, regarding his behavior on a daily basis, tell us about a good day and then a not-so-good day.
A good day is when he's not having a seizure.
Mm.
And
they're still that prevalent?
Yeah.
Barbara,
yeah,
wow.
They've gotten worse. He averages about 9 to 11 a month.
Wow, okay.
And the thing about it, it might not sound like a lot, but it takes him a while to, like, recover from one, get back to a better mood, and so there's that going on. And Mary will get him out and about. Like I say, on the good day, he can get out and about, and there's no behavior problems. And
can he walk around okay?
Oh, yes, he can. Yes,
mm-hmm.
he can. And then in the evening, the hardest time is the evening now because we went through about 3 months of suddenly he decided he was not going to go to bed for us. We don't know what, something triggered that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to get in bed first. We'd have to be in bed at least a half an hour. And then once my husband would just start falling asleep, he'd have to get up, go downstairs, see if he could get Kenny in the bed. If Kenny got in the bed, chances are he would get out of bed, take off his clothes, and he would be up naked all night, so nobody got any sleep because, well, my husband, you know, men, they can sleep through anything.
Right.
But I would later wondering, okay, is he in bed? Is he asleep? I mean, that one was a few months. It was killing me.
Oh,
now,
God.
We have the girls come over, take turns at night, and just as soon as they walk in the door, he's willing to go get in bed.
Really?
So, you know, you can't always figure out why things have to be a certain way, but the problem is the pattern, the habit.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, he's an expensive guy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, with all
the
help.
People don't come over for nothing. I mean, you know, we expect them to, but.
That's interesting. So that, is there any, like angry outbursts or tantrums,
oh, yeah.
like that sort of thing? I'm just wondering what the extreme level of behavior you would see from him would be.
At one point in our lives when Kenny had a tantrum, it was, I mean, it just was terrible. I mean, there was a time when it went on for 8 hours, and my husband would virtually have to throw his body over Kenny to protect him from himself, and I mean, mostly protecting him from himself, but also as he got bigger, because he's 6 foot now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Keeping him from, because he just, well, a good example, okay, we took him to our daughter's, who lives about an hour away,
mm-hmm.
and on the way back there was traffic, and he was kicking the windows, the door, mm-hmm. me hitting out, I mean, he can't stand backed up traffic
mm-hmm.
if it just sits there, and I was so scared I wanted to call 911.
Oh.
I was afraid he'd break his leg or hit, I mean, I should have had a helmet on,
mm-hmm.
and it just, so it can be very extreme, but mm-hmm. now the behaviors. The worst that happens is he'll take off all his clothes, he throws everything around, anything he gets his hands on. We've learned to stay out of his way, and he's now able to just come out of that behavior on his own. We just wait it out.
Mm.
That's all we can do.
Now, have doctors tried to prescribe any medication for that?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I'm so anti-medication.
Yeah, I imagine.
I hate having to give him a seizure medication, but, of course, that's nothing I can do about that.
Mm.
They would like to give him more seizure medication in hopes to control them totally, but then you read all the side effects,
mm-hmm.
and I can't do that to Kenny.
And you know that in some way is really numbing him. Or,
I know.
You know.
Well, that's right, and then there's all the side effects.
Yeah.
He can't talk, so he can't say, tell me right away, well, oh, this hurts my head, or I'm feeling this way, and it's hard. It's very hard.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Barbara Capo, author of The Boy in the Window. You can find out more about Barbara and her book through her website, theboyinthewindowbook.com. So do you think that Kenny understands his illness fully?
Yes, and we found that out with the questions. The question and answers in Chapter 24, oh, my God, they're funny, they're heartbreaking, and tragic, all rolled into one. I mean, I can still read those over and over and over again, and I'm like, I'm so amazed at his intelligence and then the little way he has of communicating, because he's in a hurry, doesn't want to take the time. He learned his own shorthand, in other words, taking words, and he would just shorten them because he didn't want to take the time to spell them all out.
Mm-hmm.
And, he does know, but there's still that part of the brain that he definitely takes in information and processes it differently than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And my book actually, there's a lot of humor, and because there's been, I mean, I can look back at so many things, and at the time they were like, they were unbelievably hard to deal with,
yeah.
But then you see the humor in it, and I wrote about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because this isn't just a sad story. It's really an amazing, inspirational story, and you write in such a beautiful way and add a lot of humor to it as well. Do you think that these gifts that Kenny has, the genius and the telepathic ability, do you think he had that at birth, or do you think it was through this illness, whatever happened with the vaccine, do you think that triggered that in him?
And, you know, unfortunately, that's something no one could ever know.
Yeah.
I think probably because he learned to use a part of his brain that he had to use. I don't know. I don't think anybody could ever know that answer.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's an interesting thing to think about.
Yes, and I have thought about that too.
Yeah. Is it common with autistic children to have super intelligence or hidden gifts like
yes.
this?
Yes, it's very. What's sad is, and I think one of the things I hope that people will get out of reading the book, if they have challenged and not necessarily autistic, but any kind of challenged person that maybe cannot speak like Kenny, that they might find something in my book that they could try with their child or person that maybe hasn't come about yet to figure out if there's any kind of, you know, gift going on there.
Mm-hmm. Was there any concern for you in writing this book and adding this aspect of the telepathic ability that you were concerned about really putting that out there into the public? Because, like you said, we don't hear much about this side
of
it.
I know. And yes, of course I did. And I remember, and of course it reminded me of when I first found this out. I mean, my God, I was so, I mean, you can't even imagine. Here was everybody telling me that my child was, you know, this low IQ. Everybody was telling him he should have been in an institution and, you know, don't waste your time on him. And then to have something like this happen, I was calling all over the United States. I mean, trying to figure out who could help me use this to help Kenny.
Mm.
And for the most part, most professionals didn't believe me, thought I was a quack. Some said they totally did not believe in telepathy, and then I had to remind them about the Aborigines in Australia.
Mm.
That's how they communicated. But, yes, I did think about that. But, you know, what I decided was, but this is Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a big part of who Kenny is. One little story real quickly was his dad every night would have to take Kenny on the same ride, go the same way, and you don't deviate from that course. Otherwise, there's a huge tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I don't know, back to maybe seven or eight years ago, maybe not quite that long, but every night was this ride. And one night, at the last moment when my husband was going to turn onto the road where he always went, that went onto the highway, the freeway, Kenny grabbed the steering wheel from the back and was trying to make the car go another way. And my husband, oh, my God, he panicked. And Kenny, you know, he's like, what's going on here? And so my husband went ahead and said, you know, he turned. He didn't go down that same road, went another way. And shortly thereafter, they were home. And later, Ken turned the news on. And at exactly the same time he would have been on the road, that freeway, there was a terrible accident involving a lot of cars.
Really?
So those are the kind of things, maybe nothing that we've seen that major, but there's just been so many incidents that, you know, they're just there.
Little extra sensory perception, it sounds like.
A lot of it.
I hear that he also can mirrors your emotions.
I wrote that he is, let's see, how did I write that? I am the mirror of his, I don't know how to say it other than when Kenny is happy and smiling, then that's me. Then I'm good for the day. It still tears me apart to see him suffer, and I have to see it so often. It's like it takes a year off my life every time he has a seizure. I've never gotten used to them.
Are they big seizures, Barbara?
They would be if he wasn't on the medicine. He does. I mean, they take a lot out of him.
Yeah.
He can fall. He had a little bout going on for a couple of months where he just dropped no matter where he was. And a couple of times I wasn't there to cling to him, and I haven't seen those in several months, and I'm so glad. I hope they never come back. You just never know from day to day with Kenny what's going to go on.
Oh, that must just be heartbreaking as a parent to see that.
So this vaccine did a lot of damage, not just to Kenny, to so many people, and changed a lot of lives and to other people that are suffering from the same problem.
So what would you say to new parents facing the issue of autism in their children?
If they already have autism,
yeah.
Of course, to don't be afraid to ask for help. keep searching till you feel you have found the right program, because you can fight for the right program. Your school district will probably tell you, well, this is where he has to go, he or she, and that really is not true. You have the right to search for programs yourself and find out what you think is the best for your child and then fight to get it. That's what we always did, and our name was became a household word at the school district. I mean, they hated to hear the name Coppell till finally they just gave us what we wanted. But that's what you have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And be firm. I can look back and I can see a lot of times my sympathy for Kenny as a mother got in the way of maybe not sticking with making him do something, no matter how hard it hurt me or him. And I would say to be very firm. Tough love, that's what they say.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So give us an example of that. I'm not sure I'm completely understanding what you're saying.
Boy, okay, and that will... In other words, Kenny could not do anything by himself. I mean, he basically, there are people like Mary can get him to do things that we cannot.
Mm.
And it's just learned behavior, because they get in the habit. They know who they can do something for, who they choose not to do something for.
Mm.
So the best thing to do is to start out as a mother and father, make them do for you what, like as like I said, is Kenny. And I'm not saying it's always that way. There's times if he's in the right mood, he will do things, and I'm talking about maybe taking off a sock or taking off his pants, but he's mostly helpless. Everything has to be done for him. He has to be totally groomed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting tired just talking.
Talking about it? Okay. So I'd like to know a little bit, because parents listening that may be going through this issue with their family, I'd like for you to talk a little bit to the grief process that you went through and the myriad of emotions you would have had, from anger to, you know, you mentioned denial earlier,
yeah,
to blame. You know, what was that like for you, and where are you at with that process today?
Oh, thank God that anger is gone, because you can't live with that kind of anger.
Mm.
It would eat away at you. Yes, in the beginning I was angry, and of course then as we went through our lawsuit and found out, well, the crooked political greedy stuff that goes on with these big money-making companies, yes, you just get so angry.
Mm-hmm.
But and of course I was trying to warn parents. Every time I turned around I'd see a pregnant woman, and I wanted to, but you know, people trust their doctors, and it's not to say that they shouldn't. Doctors definitely know a lot more than we do, but I would tell a mother to follow her instinct. I remember how I dreaded taking Kenny for his shot, like there was something trying to tell me.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. I will not forget that. I dreaded it. It was over a month. I had this dread, but I knew it had to be done, because
yeah,
doctors told me it had to be done.
That was the thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And I would urge mothers to follow their motherly instinct, no matter what it's about, regarding their children.
Mm-hmm. Great, great point. So with the grief process, you feel at this point that you are clear of grief, or where are you at?
Well, I still suffer. I suffer, but I don't blame. I just suffer.
Oh, gosh.
Because, you know, it's done and over. It's not, you can't change what happened. I can only, maybe writing this book will help others, maybe warn people or give them, you know, special hints and ideas. And if I can help just one child or one parent, I will be so happy.
Mm, mm-hmm. So what are some of the greatest gifts that Kenny has given you?
Kenny really has taught me the value of the really important things in life, which are no doubt family and love, mm-hmm, forgiveness, patience. And I think those are the main things that he's taught.
Mm, that's a gift, huge gift right there.
Yes,
now, I know, Barbara, that you have two children. What was it like for your daughter going through all of this, and how did you include her in this family journey?
Well, what was really hard, she was 16 when I became pregnant, and, of course, that didn't go over real big.
Oh, God.
You know, when they're 16, it's like, oh, my mother's pregnant.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're already kind of into their own life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think she thought more of Kenny when all this came about, and in the, you know, of course, all my attention and everything had to be devoted to Kenny, and she might have got lost a little bit in the, I mean, it's you can't help it, but I think she thought of Kenny as more a spoiled child, and she wasn't really aware of the tragedy of the situation. She was still too young to really, you know, and I would have to say that if anything, it didn't really bring us closer, unfortunately.
Mm.
You know, it's siblings have different ways of handling these type of things, and
yeah. How was your relationship with her today? She's obviously quite a bit older.
Yeah, I have two grandchildren, and
mm-hmm.
they're just the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And but she lives so far that,
oh.
you know, she's really not a big part of our life. Not that I wouldn't like it to be that way, but you know, she has her own life. She's a nurse. She works at the UC Davis Hospital in Sacramento.
Hmm. Very interesting. I'm sure that, you know, that was an extremely hard thing for her to deal with as well. And I just hold in my heart for you that I don't know if there's – just hold that in love. Hold your relationship in love, I guess.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. So let's see. I know that you are in the process of writing, or you are going to be writing a second book about Kenny. Tell us about that.
Okay, yes, I have about, maybe 10 chapters so far. It's called Star Boy because Kenny, that's one of his special, amazing gifts. Somehow we found out that Kenny was interested in stars, and no one, no school, nowhere, had anybody talked about stars or the universe, planets. I mean, the programs just did not talk about these kind of things because they wouldn't have, I mean, they were just busy sorting beanbags or colors. I mean, it was very basic, most of the programs that he was in. And Kenny, I found out when he was 10 years old, and I was still talking to him in baby talk, saying, Kenny, see the little lamb? We'd be driving down the street in the car, and I'd point out the little lambs, and I would say to him, Kenny, the lamb says ba. Can you say ba? And, you know, he would try to say ba.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I found out through his work that he was naming stars when he was 10 years old.
Really?
He was making up games in his head. Probably to keep him from going crazy because
mm-hmm.
nobody understood him. He couldn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was naming stars, and they were beautiful names. And when I first saw the names, and they're all different, and they're different, but they're alike. It's just, it's amazing. And some of the stars, the little stinker, and it shows what a sense of humor he has, he took credit for, because about three of them were real star names because I went to the library.
You gotta be kidding.
He said that he made them up, and that is through his work. So, I mean, it's just hilarious.
That's great. Well, that's
getting back to my book, and that's why the book is going to be as if Kenny was talking, and why he acts and does the things he does. So it's going to be fiction based on nonfiction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any way for him to understand this book and what you're writing?
You mean the book right now?
Well, the new book. Well, both books, to be honest with you.
I know. You know, I one of the gals that helped me with Kenny, she said, I wonder if we should read this book to Kenny. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should read it or not to him. It's not like he could ever sit down and have somebody read. You know, we do read to him maybe 15 minutes to a half an hour because that's his attention span.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the new book, I think, might be one that I would try to read to him.
It would be interesting to see what his reaction would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got this book in the mail, when we first got our first copy, I went and I showed it to him, and he just pushed it away.
Oh God.
You know, so that's kind of...
Oh, that's funny. So what do you see for his future?
Oh, boy. Okay, that's the big burden. That's the biggest burden I think parents have when they have handicapped children, because he'll never be cared for as he is now.
Yeah.
We have the best laid out plans possible, and of course we're hoping that it'll be Mary and the house will be hers, and she'll, you know, hopefully watch him. But, you know, her health probably isn't even as good as ours at this point. And my husband and I are in our 60s, mid-60s, and she's, you know, just turning 50.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see him ended up, you know, in an institution. That's my biggest fear. So, like I said, we have the best plans that we could possibly do laid out, but people change, things change, and one never really knows. So it's probably the biggest burden, although it's not like on my mind every minute, you know, you couldn't do that, but it's a huge burden.
I imagine. Is there any indication that he, how long he's expected to live, to be quite honest with you?
No one really knows that. I think it's going to depend on the quality of his care.
Oh, okay.
The seizures are the biggest factor, And if people remember to give him his medicine, I mean, this is after we're gone.
Yeah.
If you know, and you know, take him for the checkups and all those things. And I mean, I suppose he could probably have a normal lifespan. I don't think anybody would really know that answer.
Is there, with the seizures that he has now, Barbara, is there any additional brain damage?
Well, I think the seizures are from the brain damage.
Okay, but there's no additional because of the seizures.
I know what you're saying. You know, there could be.
Mm.
It's hard because of how Kenny acts. One just can't say. At least he's never had one I think the longest one he's had at one time is maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
That is a long time. The ones now average about, you know, because he's on the medication, they can go up to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say they average 2.5 to 3 minutes. And, yeah, it takes a lot out of him because usually he'll go to sleep for a couple of hours after.
Yeah, I think that's very common to be just completely exhausted after a seizure.
No, it would be better for his brain if he wasn't having all these seizures, but I'm always looking for new medicine,
mm-hmm.
and supplements and that kind of thing. So.
Now, what are your opinions on changes of diet? We're starting to hear a lot more that
yeah, we went through that.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
I can't honestly say that I saw a big change in Kenny with the diet. So, you know, that in Kenny's case, remember, he suffered severe brain damage.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, all of these autistic children, there's such a range, there's such a, you know, degree of damage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that it depends on that. Mm-hmm. But I think a good, healthy diet, of course, for anybody is.
Of course.
Best, you know?
Yeah. It's so interesting, the information that's coming out now. And that's a good point, that there are a wide spectrum of symptoms, of levels of this issue. So it's, I guess, great to try everything and anything. So, Barbara, do you have a website at this point?
Oh, yes. It's called theboyinthewindowbook.com.
Okay. And can The Boy in the Window be purchased through your website, or is it through Amazon?
Yes. If you go on the site, it directs you to either Barnes & Noble's or Amazon. And,
Wonderful. Wonderful. So when are you expecting the second book to come out?
Oh, gosh.
Next year, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. So, well, I'm just so pleased that you came onto the program today and told us a little more about your story. I know that it's been quite a journey for you, and I appreciate your candidness around it today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. I'm sure listeners will really benefit from this, and I'm just very, very grateful that you shared in the way that you did. Do you have any final thoughts that you weren't able to sneak in today?
No, I can't think of any, but I would welcome anyone that wanted to contact me. That would be fine. They can have my email.
Let's have it.
It's the letter K and then COPPO, COPPO.
Okay.
The number 40 at AOL.com.
Okay. KCOPPO40 at AOL.com. Well, wonderful.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Barbara. I really appreciate you coming on the program today, and best of luck with your book. I know that this was quite a book for you to write.
Thank you very much, Juanita.
Okay, take care. All right, listeners, there we go. I've been talking with Barbara COPPO, her book, The Boy in the Window, A Journey Through an Unexpected Tragedy, and this is such a huge issue, and I know that someone out there, whether it be you directly or indirectly, autism has touched you in some way. So, you know, really do check out this book. Barbara has added so much information to this issue, and it's just a fantastic book. So we certainly suggest that you look for it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or local booksellers. Once again, her website is www.theboyinthewindowbook.com. So thank you so much for listening to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson. And until next time.
Blog Talk Radio.